Here we go again. This is Nicole
and Emma
with Backwoods Murder Podcast.
Today we're going to be talking about Dean Quarle,
the Candyman Killer.
He was born in Indiana on Christmas Eve in 1939. His parents were divorced while he was an infant and remarried after World War II.
Wow. So he was set up to
fail.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going. This Emma is taking the role of telling you the story, and I'm just the dink in the background that's gonna throw shit at you.
So his father didn't provide any stabilizing influence, therefore he resorted to harsh punishment for small things. After his parents separated a second time, Dean and his younger brother were left with a series of sitters and their mom working to support the boys on her own.
So he pretty much was raised by his mother, is what you're telling me. Like, his father was not
when his father was in the picture, it wasn't a good situation.
So this is, like, what you think of when you come up with serial killers. Like, bad... I'm not...
Divorced parents.
So, not all divorced parents are like this.
Right.
Some can co-parent very well.
Some can, yes.
But I feel like boys need a strong male role model in their life. Whether it's a parent, a grandparent, a friend of the family, whatever. They need a strong male role model.
And he didn't have that.
He didn't at all?
No.
Okay, keep going.
So, he developed a fever which left Dean with a heart condition, causing frequent absences from school, and he seemed after that to be very welcome to the change when his mother remarried and moved the family to Texas.
Okay, so not only was he sick,
but his mother was dating somebody and talking about moving to Texas.
Okay, continue.
So, a part-time business making candy, their business making candy, soon expanded to become their livelihood. Quarle was very generous with the samples as he tried to make new friends.
Oh, so not only was he, like, kind of mentally screwed from, like, the divorce and, like, trying to find a normalcy in life, but his mother also remarried, moved their family...
And he didn't have any friends.
So no friends.
So he resorted to using candy.
The Candyman.
To make friends.
I don't blame him. Okay.
So in 1964, he was drafted into the military despite his heart condition.
How can they do that?
You can get it waived.
Even so.
Like certain medical conditions, you can get waived.
Okay, so.
We talked about that today in the class.
Okay, so I didn't realize heart conditions could be one of those waves. Like, I know a friend of mine had broken his ankle or something, and he couldn't go into the army because of it. Mm-hmm. Because he couldn't pass the physical for running or whatever. I didn't realize a heart condition could be.
I believe that would be the only way that he could be waived, get into the army.
Okay.
Or military, because it was waived. So... In the military is where he first started to display signs of homosexuality.
Which, I mean...
In 1969.
Which was not... I was not born then. But that wasn't a time when they accepted people for different sexualities. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, you like to do things with other men. That, especially in the military.
Especially, yeah, the military is like... very strict about that. Like,
it's, I think recently it's changed, but back then
that was not a thing.
That you did not do that.
No.
If you were gay or you were a woman, like, you would be like out of the military.
And then so in 1996 he had begun to
1996
Yes.
Is it actually in
1969, sorry.
There you go. Okay.
He began to spend his time with teenage boys like David Owen Brooks and Elmer Wayne Henley. passing out free candy and hosting glue and paint sniffing parties at his apartment in Pasadena, suburb of Houston.
Did you say glue and paint
sniffing
parties?
Yes.
So they're not doing heroin.
No,
or
they're
crack.
Sniffing glue and paint.
Okay, so they're not doing heroin or crack.
They're marijuana, though. They're sniffing glue and paint.
Okay, well, you know, I ate paint when I was little, so I guess that...
You know, everybody's had a taste of a glue stick.
What is going on right now? Oh, wait a second. So he would host parties.
And they would all sniff glue and paint.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a dink, but, like, when you think of drugs, you're not thinking glue and paint.
At least bring a Sharpie into the mix.
Right? Just a little Sharpie. I just sniff a little.
Mix it up a little.
Mix it up. Sniff a Sharpie.
Get some coffee beans to clear your system.
Right? Wait. You need to eat, sherbet. Sherbet yes. will clear your palate between the glue... The paint and the Sharpie. Okay, continue, Emma.
On one occasion during 1970, Brooks entered the apartment to find Dean nude with two boys, naked, strapped to a homemade torture rack.
Wait, so is this part of, like, the sniff and paint? Or, I mean,
no,
scratch and
so
sniff? So is this...
This was a year later, because while they were sniffing... paint and glue. That was in 1969. This is in 1970.
So he's escalated from sniffing...
From paint and glue sniffing parties to having sexual intercourse with a torture rack.
Oh, a torture rack.
In his apartment.
Did he put glue on there or paint?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But obviously he wasn't too worried about somebody walking in. He didn't lock the door.
I'm sorry, this is not funny, but you just brought up sniffing glue and paint.
Parties. Like, think about this. You know what? I'm gonna go to a party, and I'm gonna go sniff glue and paint. That is what I'm gonna do with my Friday night.
I'm just gonna go sniff some glue and paint. It's fine. We're just gonna add a Sharpie in the mix.
If my mom looked at me and asked me, hey, what are you doing Friday night? And I looked at her and I said... I'm gonna go sniff some glue and paint and add a little Sharpie in the mix. She would look at me like I'm a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, nope, that would happen. If my kid, which is 15, told me he was going to go sniff some glue and paint and maybe add a little Sharpie in there, I would pretty much lock him in his room and tell him he needs to,
get some mental help.
Yeah, because,
if you're gonna do drugs, you're not gonna sniff paint and glue.
Right, you're gonna smoke some marijuana, maybe do some crack. Maybe some coke, I don't know, but not sniff paint and glue. I mean, let's just add a little Sharpie in there and make it a friggin' trio. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be this person. But we're talking about glue and paint here. Like, what are we doing here? This is... And you're talking about candy. Like, he's the candy man. Why has he got paint and glue? Like, all you need to do is add a little candy to the mix. If you gave me candy, I would probably do anything for you. As long as it was fruit flavored.
As Brooke walked in... Dean felt embarrassed, and he released his so-called playmates.
They're playmates now.
They're playmates.
So they're sniffing glue and paint, and now they're playmates.
Yes.
So it's like Barbie and Ken. Okay, continue.
Yeah. And offered Brooks a car in return of his silence.
Wait, so he's gonna give a kid a car?
To shut him up.
And sniff some glue and paint.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Continue. This is amazing.
Yeah. Brooks and Henley, like Elmer Wayne Henley, they started collecting their friends.
Oh, God.
And brought them to Dean.
For glue and paint.
To kill. Because this is where his desire and passion turned into bloodlust.
Oh, So now it's not just sniffing and eating glue.
No.
Now it's becoming bloodlust.
Yeah. So we're killing people now.
Okay. Here comes Draven.
I hear him.
I'm going to ask him if he's going to sniff some glue later. I think he went into the bathroom. Go ahead.
I think he's doing that to cover up the fact that he's probably recording us right now.
Outside the door. It's fine. Draven! Okay, go ahead.
So he was paying Brooks and Henley $200 a head.
$200 a person? Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. $200 a person. He's saying, oi, daddy. It's fine. Yeah. That's fun. So $200 a person.
Yeah.
Draven. So he's paying these two teenagers $200 to bring their friends
per person. Every friend they bring to Dean to kill, he's paying $200.
And torture.
And torture. He's abducting, torturing, sexualized
sexually assaulting them.
And killing them.
Okay.
He killed over 28 teenage boys, ranging from, I believe it was 13 to 18.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Not good.
I think I can find the article to where the youngest one is.
That is some really messed up Candyman situation going on there.
Yeah.
And so he pretty much taught these two young teens and manipulated them with glue and paint sniffing.
Yeah.
To bring him people or teens to rape, torture, and murder.
Yeah. I found all the people that he killed.
How many, what, can you name their names?
Yes.
Starting from the first.
Dates as well.
Okay, let's do it.
So, in 1970, there's three teenage boys. Jeffrey Cunnan, Danny Yates, and James Glass. Jeffrey was 18, a student of the University of Texas, abducting while hitchhiking from Austin to Braeswood Place, District of Houston. He was buried at a high school island beach. December 15th was Danny Yates. He was 14. He was lured with his friends, James Glass, from an event, from a rally by David Brooks. And he was brought to Dean's apartment. On December 15th, the same day as Danny Yates, James Glass was also 14. And he was also brought to the apartment.
To sniff some glue.
And he and his friend were strangled before being buried in Dean's boat shed. How do you bury someone in a boat shed?
I don't even know what a boat shed is, first of all.
Isn't it like a shed in the water for your boat? I swear to God it is. Like, it's a shed over top of the water so you can, like, pull your boat into the shed. I swear to God.
Listen, I'm, like, a New England girl.
Because, like, when we went kayaking on Lake Winnipesaukee, like, there were sheds in the water. I swear to God, I am not kidding you. There were, like, sheds in the water.
Like, actually, or
yeah, part... me and Gavin went into the sheds, and we got on the boats.
So, it's on land and water.
Yeah, so it's like a dock.
But it's a covered dock.
It's like a covered dock.
So where is this land that you're burying these people
in? Exactly. Like,
I don't understand.
I don't either.
Okay, if you guys understand what this is,
please, what is a boat shed?
Yeah, please comment and let me know what a boat shed is. Because I'm thinking a dock.
With a cover over it for a boat. Like, I swear that's
I think we
is.
Need to Google. Hold on. Let me Google this.
Okay, well, you Google that. I'm going to continue. In 1971, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 killers,
what
6 victims.
What is a boat, wait, shed?
Shed. Donald, he was 15. Jerry, he was 13.
What is a boat ship?
Randall Harvey was 15. David was 13.
Oh, Jesus.
Gregory.
Google keeps saying.
Gregory Winkle.
Winkle?
He was 16.
Okay, every time.
Formal employee of Dean's Candy Company and boyfriend of Randall Harvey's sister.
Oh. Ooh.
So Randall Harvey was killed March 9th. And then Gregory was killed May 29th.
He was just a murdering son of a bitch.
And then August 17th in 1971, it was Reuben, and he was 17. And then in 1972, on February 9th, Willard, a.k.a. Rusty, that's what they called him, he was 17.
I don't like the name of Rusty, I'm sorry. Bad family blood.
Okay.
I don't mind any other Rusty, but just you saying that makes me...
Okay. And then March 24th, Frank.
April 5th. Love the name Frank! It is my I name goats Frank, I name cows Frank, I name pigs Frank, I name everything Frank.
How do you feel about Mark?
Mark,
That was on April 20th. He was 17.
How old was Frank?
Frank was 18.
I really like the name Frank.
May 21st was Johnny. He was 16.
Johnny? Who kills Johnny?
I don't know. Obviously, Candyman killer.
Johnny's so wholesome.
And then on May 21st, along with Johnny, Billy was 17.
Oh my god! Shut your mouth!
And then October 3rd was Wally.
Wait, is that actually?
Yes, Wally. And then on October 3rd was Richard.
Wait, did he do it in twos?
A few of them. Johnny and Billy were killed together. Wally and Richard were killed together. And then David and Gregory were killed together. And then Donald and Jerry were killed together.
Wow.
And then Danny and James were killed together.
So he had a thing for twos.
Yeah, I guess so. And then on July 20th, it was Steven. He was 17. October 3rd. Oh, I went through this. This was Wally. He was 14. October 3rd. November 12th was Richard. In 1973, on February 1st, it was Joseph Lyles. He was 17. June 4th, it was Billy Ray Lawrence. He was 15. June 15th was Ray Blackburn. He was 20.
Wow.
So I think 20 is the oldest he goes. July 7th
I wonder
was
if he looked
Homer.
Younger.
July 7th was Homer.
I wonder,
Garcia. Homer Garcia.
I wonder if the 20-year-old actually looked younger.
I don't know.
Because I don't feel...
20 is the oldest. He doesn't go past 20 because because Homer was 15, and then on July 12th was John Sellers, and he was 17. July 19th was Michael, nicknamed Tony.
Why the fuck are they, like, nicknaming them, like, completely? Michael and Tony.
They're
so
like
Anthony is the name for the nickname Tony. Michael and Tony are, like...
There's no relevance.
Okay.
It could have been a middle name.
Maybe.
And then he was 15, and then on July 25th, and along with July 25th, was Marty Jones and Charles Cobble. And
were
Marty,
they, like, brothers? They both have the same last name?
Jones was last seen walking along with his friend and flatmate, Charles Cobble, walking towards Dean's apartment in the company of Henley.
That dirty rascal.
A school friend of Henley's, whose wife was pregnant at the time... of his murder, his body shot twice in the head and was found in the boat shed. You happy with yourself now?
Yeah.
Oh. So, Charles was found in the boat head. In
shed.
The boat shed.
Not head. Shed.
He was shot twice in the head.
And then...
was in the...
boat shed.
Boat shed.
Which I don't know what it is. So, we're working.
Did we not figure that out?
No. Hold on. You keep there. I'm gonna... because you kept talking about ages and it just kept adding things to my Google search. What is a boat shed?
A
According to Wikipedia, boat sheds are generally lockable wooden sheds, often brightly colored, that were originally built to securely store small private boats and bathing materials directly on beaches.
Okay.
It's like a shed in the water. It is a shed in the water. I swear.
Where are you burying bodies in a shed in the water?
I don't know. Okay, like, I've seen them on Winnipeg.
But it's obviously a shed in the water.
Okay, maybe that's what he meant by a boat shed.
Okay.
That could be it. But, like...
A shed where you put boats. Okay, I get it.
But, like, it's in the water. I don't understand. Boats go in the water. That's my thing. Boats go in the water. Boats go in the water and cars go on the pavement.
That's how this works.
That's how life works.
Like, we're New England girls, so we are near the ocean. We're near lakes.
Boats go in the water.
You don't have a shed for your boat that's not in the water. Like, it's just... So I was very confused about this. I'm not gonna lie. Like, where are you burying bodies?
In a boat shed.
I don't understand this. So that's why I asked, what is a boat shed? Because I have, like, where is your boat and where is the land and where are you burying bodies? Because this does make no sense to me. No sense. Anyways. Okay. 21. Yes. Continue. This is your show. I'm just here to...
That's it. That's all I got.
Okay, but his family owned...
The candy shops.
Like, two different ones. Not even candy shops, but candy manufacturers.
Yes.
So his... Originally, him and his mother and his stepfather owned a candy shop.
Yes.
They divorced... And his mother...
I believe got it.
No, I think they started a different one.
Oh, that's right, because they moved to Texas.
Thank you. So this man has literally been a candy man for years.
For his entire life, basically.
Pretty much. So his last place, the last candy factory, was across the street from a school.
Oh, that's right. It was.
So the kids, he would give out the seconds, which seconds mean like the broken pieces,
yeah,
or the things that they could not sell as like a pure product. So he would have these little boys, and he always was more giving to the boys than the girls.
Because he was
homosexual. Yes. Nothing wrong with being homosexual, like, I don't think. But when you're a predator, and...
That's an issue.
Yeah, like, even if you're a predator and you're going against girls.
Yeah.
Like, there is an issue. Like, what transpired in your younger years to make you a predator?
Like, you know what? I'm gonna go and I'm gonna rape some kids.
I'm just...
Like, well, how does that come up in your head?
You're a 16-year-old girl. She is a 16-year-old girl. I am a 36-year-old woman, and I still cannot process, and maybe you can explain it. What transpires where you're like, I'm just gonna molest a young child? Do you feel?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing comes to my head.
I just, like, I'm not laughing because it's funny, because this is a very serious and this is a huge problem in our country.
But then again, what went through his head to, like, think, what? I'm going to go molest a child?
I'm not even just a child. I'm going to molest a boy. I'm going to rape, torture a teenage boy.
And kill him.
And then kill him so he cannot prove that I
am. And then bury him in a boat shed.
That we just took forever to figure out what a boat shed was.
And it's not even a shed.
It's not.
It's a shed in the water.
With a little dock. And there's a little bit of land. How many bodies did this motherfucker bury in a boat shed?
I don't understand.
I don't get this. Like, I don't understand how many. First of all. I wish I could show you guys pictures right now, because the boat sheds around here do not have that much property.
No,
they're like little itty bitty sheds.
On the water with a little dock where you park your boat in. With maybe like 6 feet of proper land.
Maybe. If they're lucky.
Like, that is rocky. If it's rocky, like, where are you burying these bodies? And how the hell did you get away with it for this long?
The thing is, it's on the water. The water around here is like a thing. Like, you live on the water, you're cool.
Right. Mind you, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. There is a lot of water around us. I don't know.
There is so much water.
But we're talking a different state.
Right. But, like, I don't know about that, but around us, if you live on the water, your neighbors are, like, 10 feet away from you.
Right, and you have a boat shed.
You have no backyard. Your backyard is the lake, or the ocean, or whatever is in your backyard. That's it.
Yeah, so where are you burying, how many bodies
can you put
in a boat shed? I don't know.
I don't understand.
This man is a POS, and I hope he got murdered.
Yeah.
Do you remember who it was?
I don't remember who it was.
It was not Brooks.
It was Henley.
Henley shot him after Henley brought a boy and a girl.
That's right. Because he wasn't happy that he brought a girl.
Girl.
Because he was into boys.
So Mr. Candyman didn't like girls, and Henley brought a boy and a girl. And the girl said to him, "You're going to let him do this to us?" And Henley may have had a crush on that girl or something.
Because then he shot him.
Shot Mr. Candyman right in the head. And he deserved every...
He did.
I'm going to let you know if my kid was ever... My boys were ever... If you were ever sexually assaulted by somebody, I would be spending the rest of my life in jail. Because that is not okay.
No.
It is not okay. This is our take on the Candyman, and I'm sorry that we were very inappropriate at some points and laughing, but I get uncomfortable and I laugh. That's what I do.
We make dark jokes about situations that shouldn't be made jokes about.
Because we're uncomfortable, and the only way we know how to deal with that,
is laughing.
And laughing and making sick jokes. This is the Candyman. If you have anything to say, please share our podcast.
If you have suggestions on what you want us to do.
Yes. You can email us at Hemlock Hollow Farm, the number 1@yahoo.com. We're trying to work on getting our own email address, but that's what we have right now. Let us know what your thoughts and feelings are. And this is very raw. We are not editing any of this, so this is what it is. And I hope you enjoy our Candyman podcast.